Welcome to the Hacking Happy podcast. I'm your host, Penny Lacasso, and I am the world's first happiness hacker on a bold mission to teach 10 million humans just like you how to flourish by 2025. This podcast is designed to help you reignite your spark, supercharge your energy, and channel it towards injecting more joy, more presence, more calm, and more meaning into each and every day. If that sounds like something you could use a little bit more of, let's get started. Hello, beautiful ones, and welcome to another episode of the Hacking Happy podcast. Greetings from my new home, first podcast in the new office, which not yet fully furnished, but that's completely okay. I'm comfortable with the imperfection, but it's a beautiful space and And I know this because it continues to inspire me to create, which is how this podcast was born today. This was not something I had even considered until I had a conversation this morning with, well, not really. It was a conversation, but it was actually a practice session. A practice session with a good friend of mine, Amy, who has joined me not only in my studies in psychology, but she's also joined me in my studies for the next 12 months around compassionate inquiry with the amazing Gabor Maté. The two of us together are learning how to support our clients from a space of understanding trauma and how trauma impacts our physiology and equally our subconscious, and how we can look at helping people process trauma in a way that allows them to bring their whole self to every situation, to unlock potential that they truly have that very well may be suppressed by what has happened to them in their past. So that's a little bit of context. So that is how this podcast was born. Today we want to talk about whether attachment is holding you back from living wholeheartedly. And it was in a practice session, as I mentioned this morning, where we were practicing coaching or therapy from the compassionate inquiry lens, that this particular podcast emerged, and it emerged out of feelings that I was having and stuff that I've been processing consciously or subconsciously over the last probably 6 weeks. And so that's where I wanted to start us today. So what I want to ask you is, have you ever considered what or whom you are attached to and how that attachment might be holding you back? Now, the reason I have been thinking about attachment lately is for two reasons. And I must say, I have been thinking about attachment and attachment theory, which I will explain in more detail, a lot, a hell of a lot. And like I said, the reason is, one is because I studied attachment, both attachment theory in terms of relational attachment and equally place attachment, which I found absolutely fascinating in my psychology studies. And I obviously, as part of that process, gained an understanding of how it impacts our lives. Now, the second reason I've been thinking about this a lot lately is, after studying attachment and attachment theory, I could not ignore how this was kind of rising within me and how it was potentially impacting my own life. And this, I suppose, is the beauty of studying something like psychology. So much of it is, whilst I went into it to enable me to better support my clients, be they coaching clients, be they their clients that engage me for speaking or facilitation of workshops, what has become acutely apparent is that you can't get better at this stuff unless you apply it to yourself first. And that is what I have been doing. And man, it is confronting, it is uncomfortable, but it is so damn powerful. And hopefully what I'm going to share with you today will be a little window into how that's unfolding for me, in the hope that it might trigger you to perhaps step into this space for yourself. And look, for those of you who listen and listen regularly, some of what I'm going to touch on today might be a story that's familiar. It's just going to be through a very different lens, an expanded lens. And for those of you who are new, well, this is going to be a story that is new. So let's go with it. Okay. So recently, probably about 8 weeks ago, I was in Thailand. I was an hour out from delivering a keynote for 100 executives for a Southeast Asia leadership team. It was an amazing opportunity. I was preparing and my phone rang, and it was my real estate agent telling me that I needed to move house because there was some serious structural renovations required on the beautiful home that I was living in. Now, literally, I wanted to cry. I felt this feeling of heavy sadness in my heart, and I must say I was surprised because I'm not a big crier. I don't cry a lot at all, and it's not that I suppress emotions. It's just not part of who I am. And if you're someone that does cry a lot, there's nothing wrong with that. That's completely normal. This is just how I operate. So I just want to put that caveat around this. So yeah, I actually felt like I wanted to cry. So I knew that this was significant, and I had to understand why I felt so sad about moving house. And when I dug into why and sat with that feeling, which is something, sitting with feelings and allowing them to be, gosh, what a gift, but it's something so many of us just don't do. We're very good at, because we're busy, suppressing and just moving on. But I'm really challenging myself to sit with things at the moment, and that is where I have found the magic. So when I sat with this sadness and connected into where I felt it in my body, which was in my heart, I realized that I had a place attachment to the home that I was living in. And the reason that felt so strong compared to any other home, I've lived in many homes over the years, from any other home that I'd ever lived in, was because this was the home where Sax and I had spent 2 years of lockdown. It was the home that had become our sanctuary, but equally, I suppose, in some ways, our prison during 2 years in the most lockdown city in the world. And what went with that was a whole host of emotions, a whole host of beautiful memories, but I suppose the acknowledgement of a moment in time where this was never going to occur again, and it had significantly impacted our lives, and this home had been such a part of that experience. So that was where I kind of landed when I sat with the feeling. And I mean, what a gift, right? What a gift of gratitude to acknowledge a beautiful place that had given us so many beautiful memories and had helped us get through a really challenging time in all of our lives. Now, let's unpack this idea of place attachment, because I think it's helpful to understand. I'm a big fan of definitions, right? So according to psychology, place attachment is defined as feelings of connection or affiliation with a geographic location that provides security and comfort and contributes to your identity. Oh, the irony, because this house felt like it was a part of who I was, part of who we were. Individually and collectively, people become attached to certain places, such as their homes or their neighborhoods. So that's kind of the definition. So really helpful process. Sitting with that emotion helped me connect in with my body, what the feeling was, yeah, where I felt it in my body, why I was feeling that way. And it gave me the opportunity, one, to acknowledge, but two, to be grateful rather than staying with the sadness. I moved from sadness to gratitude as part of that process, if that makes sense. Hey there, thought I would just press pause for a moment and ask you, do you struggle to set boundaries when there is so much that needs to be done in both work and life? Do you feel like you're letting everyone down and like no one's getting the best of you? Perhaps you lay in bed wide-eyed in the middle of the night wondering, how much is enough? And then tell yourself, I can't go on like this anymore. You've been waiting to make meaningful change for ages, but feel overwhelmed by the enormity of it and too exhausted to know where to even begin. You keep telling yourself, when it's all done, then I'll make time for me. But the reality is, it's never all done. And you just keep moving yourself and your dreams to the bottom of your to-do list. If the answer is, that's me, Penny, are you inside my head?
then the Calm Collective Group Coaching Program was designed for you. The Calm Collective is a six-month intimate group coaching journey that provides the space, support, skills, and community to reignite your spark and inject more presence and calm into each day. If you're ready to step out of robot mode, move from existing to living, jump on over to thecalmcollective.au. That's thecalmcollective.au for all of the details and to secure your spot in the next cohort.
I have to also just slide in here. This podcast is real and raw. As I say, it emerged this morning and I want to keep it real and raw because I think that is what seems to connect with people. I'm not here for perfection. I say this all the time. I'm here for progress, progress for myself, progress for us as human beings so that we can live wholehearted lives. So if it feels a bit messy, it's exactly the way it's meant to be. No apologies for a messy podcast. Okay, so we're in this situation where I had to move house. I've moved through, obviously, the sadness feeling and wanting to cry. And I decided to start looking for houses, which, you know, was the next logical step. Get out there and just get moving, which I'm generally really good at. Once I have to make a move, I bloody get after it. That's just who I am. I'm very action orientated. Like I say, it's just part of my makeup. So I start looking for houses. Now, anyone in Australia at the moment will probably be aware because it's all over the front pages of the news. And if you are listening from somewhere else, I'm intrigued as to the situation in your country because I don't think this is unique to Australia at the moment in the current climate of rising interest rates and inflation. We have a massive shortage of rental properties and the rental market in terms of the price for what you get is absolutely insane. And like I say, it's over the front page of the paper this morning is a beautiful example. So I started looking at properties and went and looked at quite a few and give you an example of how competitive the market was. One house I looked at had 75 people queued up to have a look at it. Now, the irony was I'd looked at a number of houses up until this point, hadn't found what I was looking for. I was getting closer to the date that I had to move. It was proving to be a much harder process than I had anticipated or what I had ever experienced before. And as you can imagine, that stimulated my central nervous system, made me feel a little bit stressed, which is, again, something I don't do that often. Like most of us, I don't do stress well. So I could feel the stress rising within me as this deadline drew closer and I didn't have anywhere for us to move. Now, after going to that house with 75 people queued up, Sax and I pulled up. I looked at the queue and I just said, I'm not even going to bother. And there was another house that was open at exactly the same time. And I said to Sax, if we don't go and see that, we'll miss out. And this is not going to happen, this one. So we went to the second one. Now, it was across the road from anyone who knows me and my son. I'm the soccer mum. Sax plays soccer 7 days a week. He is extremely passionate and obsessed by it. This second house that we looked at was directly across the road from one of his soccer training pitches, which when Saxon saw that, he was just like, oh my God, mum, we have to live here. This is crazy. He said, this is it. Now, of course, when I turned up, there was 30 people outside, loads of couples and families. And I just thought again, maybe this is me limiting mindset, right? Because of the stress that I was in, my rational brain was not kicking in. I was in survival mode. And so I immediately went to the default position of this is not going to happen. So I went home and felt completely deflated. I put in an application anyway, even though I knew it was a long shot, because there were so many people at this property. I had a very sleepless night that night worrying about how I was going to find a house for the two of us, the right house. As I laid in bed, I decided to ask myself, is this attachment to the house that I have and the expectations around how the next place should match what I've got, is this actually serving me? Is the attachment that I have to this old house serving me? That question shifted everything. even though I was lying in bed at 3 a.m. in the morning asking myself it. And I feel like sometimes you've got to go through this. We have to go through it to get out the other side. So when I woke the next morning, I basically got up and said, that's it. Tired, but I'm like, that's it. I am letting go. I am letting go of this house, and I am letting go of this attachment that no longer serves me. I am grateful, but this is not where we are meant to be anymore. So when I got up, the first thing I did was I went and bought some boxes, literally that day, and I started packing those boxes. Now, this is going to sound crazy if you're not in the world of woo-woo, but I've stepped into the world of woo-woo because when I create space, when I let go of things, when I release attachment, it astounds me what happens. And this next thing I want to share is certainly in that realm. So go with the woo-woo. So I started packing boxes. And the reason I started packing boxes was to signal to the universe that I'm seriously ready to let go. And I am mentally now ready to move on. Now, here's what happened next. And I tell not a word of a lie. Literally an hour later, my phone rang. And I got the call that I got the dream house that Zach's wanted that is directly across the road from his soccer pitch. I could not believe it. The freedom that came with just letting go, with releasing my attachment and acknowledging what that attachment had given me, but the fact that it was no longer mine, no longer needed or serving me. I felt a freedom in my body and in my soul. I felt my shoulders completely release. It was, I can't even find the words for it. It was a moment. It was a moment that I will never forget. Now, you can say it's coincidence, and maybe it is. But unfortunately, or fortunately for me, these coincidences continue to appear whenever I acknowledge attachment and let go of something that is challenging, that is no longer serving me. I've now been in this beautiful new home for a week, and I have to say it has been a game changer on absolutely every level, every level. My attachment to the old house had had its time. It was time to let go, and to be honest, the universe forced the whole decision. By telling us that we had to move, we didn't have a choice. And I have to say, I am eternally grateful that we were forced to move, because it has opened up a whole new world of exploration, of beautiful new places to go, new people to meet. And it's cut down my travel time by a huge amount, because I'm so much closer to Zach's school, to his soccer, and all of his mates are in walking distance, which we just didn't have before. And I've also got community, because all of the soccer families are around where I live, which is something I haven't had a lot of local community since I was a kid living on a farm. So it really, it's been a gift. And the reason I share all of this is that sometimes the most uncomfortable uprooting or letting go is the exact one that is needed to create the space that I so often speak about, the space for what you long for to come in. If we don't let go, we do not create space. And when there is no space, the new cannot present itself. It's just the nature of how things work. So I ask you, off the back of today's fluid ramble and sharing of my turmoil over the last couple of weeks, I ask you, what are you holding on to that perhaps gives you comfort, that you know you're attached to, but deep down inside, you know it's time to let go and trust that the universe has your back and it will just work out. My mentor at the moment, Gabor Maté, who is, as I said, the amazing, he says he's not a guru, I would argue he is a bit of a guru, who heads up the trauma program that I'm doing, shares in his teachings, it is only when we are truly vulnerable that we grow. Letting go is your path to growth. So I'm just going to take pause there. Maybe I will repeat those two things. It is only when we are truly vulnerable that we grow, and letting go is your path to growth. So if any of this resonated, if this is the work that you want to do to create the space for more of what lights a fire in your soul and puts a spring in your step and allows the version of you that you want to show up in the everyday to present itself, I am here for you. My group coaching program, The Calm Collective, is now open for enrollments. I'm going to drop the link in show notes for you to check out if you'd like to do so. I'm also running the retreat in August, the end of August in Noosa, a beautiful way to create real space, significant space for you to recharge your batteries, for you to reignite your spark and reorient your life towards more of the things that matter to you. So I'll pop that in the show notes as well. Until next time, beautiful human, happiness looks good on you. Bye for now. Thanks for joining me on today's episode of the Hacking Happy podcast. Reviews are so important to empowering more beautiful humans like you to lead wholehearted and happy lives. If you enjoyed your experience today, I'd love if you could take a moment to leave a review and a rating on your preferred podcast listening platform. If there was something in this particular episode that resonated, feel free to take a screenshot and share your perspectives on social media. Tag me in via Instagram on hackinghappy.co, or you'll find me on LinkedIn, Penny Lacasso. If you have a friend that you feel needs to hear the message in today's podcast, why not drop them a note and share the link from this episode? Until next time, my friend, happiness looks good on you.